Violence at One Stock Market.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The Athens Stock Exchange appears to be a target in an explosion this morning in Greece. A powerful car bomb went off in a van parked outside the exchange just a few hours before trading was set to open today. Our European correspondent Stephen Beer joins us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So what do we know now?
The bomb went off at around 5:30 a.m. Local time outside the Athens Stock Exchange. Police had been tipped off and so had sealed off the area. Nevertheless, one passerby was slightly injured by flying glass, several cars set on fire, and the building, according to the Stock Exchange chairman, has been quite badly damaged.
Has anyone, Stephen, claimed responsibility?
Not yet, but this is the latest in a series of attacks specifically on financial targets. And local journalists are saying this bears the hallmark of a violent group called Revolutionary Struggle. This is the group that fired a rocket at the U.S. Embassy in Athens 2 years ago and earlier this year planted bombs outside buildings belonging to Citibank in Athens. And their focus is clearly economic. The background to this: Greece has been very badly hit by the financial crisis, with high youth unemployment in particular, and there's been a lot of unrest in that country in recent months.
Yeah. How has this affected trading today over there?
Well, the stock market opened as usual at 10:15, but we can't say it's been business as usual. A number of workstations and desks have been damaged, but the exchange says the core operations are up and running. The exchange is trading.
All right. Stephen Beard in London this morning. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Shares in Greece are lower right now at the Athens stock market and in Europe across the board, as a matter of fact, today. Asian markets closed mostly down. Wall Street yesterday, some selling. The S&P lost 2.25%. The NASDAQ and Dow close to 2%. More and more bailed out banks say they're eager to repay billions that taxpayers lent them. Banks that pay off the debt aren't bound by government-imposed salary caps. In fact, a new study shows top officers of some bailed out banks are doing pretty nicely. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
The Institute for Policy Studies says CEOs of the 20 largest bailed-out banks were paid $250 million since the start of 2008. The study's co-author Sam Pizzigatti says the hefty compensation is mostly thanks to some timely stock options.
When shares of the big bailed-out banks were trading at near all-time record lows, many of these executives got millions of new stock options exercisable at the bargain basement price. Since then, thanks to the bailout, the shares of these companies have increased in value.
Pizzigatti says such banks shouldn't benefit from government tax breaks and low-interest loans. But Tim Bartle of the Center on Executive Compensation says options give bank managers the right incentives.
A stock option is a very good way of tying executives' compensation to how the company does and how well shareholders do.
Bartle says the bank executives can't cash in their stock options for another few years, and that means their companies have to perform well consistently before the executives can benefit. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 436 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Just as the economy nears the end of the recession, a worsening commercial real estate market threatens to bump the recovery off track. The National Association of Realtors reported recently that rentals of office and retail space fell to their lowest level in 15 years. Downturn is hitting some downtowns especially hard. From station WUWM in Milwaukee, Aaron Toner reports.
I'm up on the 32nd floor of Milwaukee's tallest building to meet real estate broker Bill Boniface. We're looking out over the heart of downtown and the Lake Michigan shoreline just a few blocks away.
Which is very pretty today. We have Northwestern Mutual's headquarters right in front of us. And then
Boniface is Executive Vice President of the local C.B. Richard Ellis branch. He's watched Milwaukee's downtown take shape.
Most of what you see has been developed since 1979 when I started in this business.
He says there have been good and bad times over those 30 years, and this is one of the bad ones. Commercial vacancy rates in many Midwest cities are as high as 15%, but in Milwaukee, one in every five offices is empty. The result is a renter's market. Boniface says many of the tenants he represents are going after so-called blend and extend deals,
where they say, Mr. Landlord, our lease is coming up in 2 or 3 years. We're willing to add 5 years to our lease now. We need very little tenant improvement work, perhaps. But what we want a substantial reduction in our rent today.
This is far from what city planners had hoped for earlier this decade. A lot of money had been pumped into redeveloping crumbling urban cores that gave the Rust Belt its name. While skylines have transformed, there's worry the rust could return. Many landlords are in danger of defaulting on their buildings because property values are falling, they're losing tenants, and they can't refinance their loans. Bob Bach is chief economist for Grubb & Ellis.
The amount of distress out there is increasing very rapidly. About $108 billion worth of properties were classified as distressed as of mid-year. Investors are generally waiting. I think there's a feeling that there's going to be this wave of distressed properties coming back to market.
One bright spot is that historic structures are doing better than newer ones. One Milwaukee developer is refurbishing the Pabst Brewery complex downtown. Most of it was built in the 1800s. He's already sold six buildings on the 20-acre site. And this has to be a good sign. The old boiler building now accommodates a commercial real estate firm. In Milwaukee, I'm Aaron Toner for Marketplace.
Hey, how are you doing during this recession? Share your story with us at our website, marketplace.org. We have the scratch pad there and our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, inside the website, marketplace.org. Hope you can join us online. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.